Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording and defending Islam against the stereotypes. People say Islam is a violent religion. Islam is a religion of violence. Muslims are terrorists or Muslims are violent people. The God of Muslims is a militant God, war God. And the what else? And Islam spread by the sword. That's what they said. Okay? Now, on what basis, what made them say that?
Like jihad, like the Sharia laws.
Yes, hearing about the jihad with the sword.
Every religion has terrorists. Do not connect terrorism to a religion.
Okay, now you're defending, but what I'm asking, why this is happening?
Because in most Islamic states, there's like war going on, and there's people believe that ISIS is connected to
most Islamic states mean the war in just maybe Syria probably.
Okay.
You know, not most Islamic states has wars at all. Okay. You know, it's
thank you.
There are wars here and there.
No.
Yes.
But there are like terrorist attacks, like people say in the
9/11 terrorists. 9/11. Okay, what else other than 9/11? ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Bin Laden, and all these things. All these things that reminds them that Islam is a religion of... Now, they also say countries became Muslim countries after war. So, there has to be a war, and then the country becomes a Muslim country. And the war, and the Muslims will become a Muslim country. So they say Islam spread by the sword.
People are saying that what the Muslims did to spread their religion, they forced people to accept Islam. And like I read somewhere that like supposedly the Muslims they had like they would give money to like people who were fighting wars and stuff, the soldiers. And like if you were a Muslim, you could get some of that money. But if you wanted money, you didn't get that money. So like the people who wanted the money, they just they said that they were forced to become Muslim so they could get the money.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to answer all these questions today. Okay. Now, regarding this particular issue, that there has to be military interaction before Islam comes. Right? So war, then Islam. There is an exception to that, and this exception is surprisingly is that the largest, who knows what's the largest Muslim country in population, that has the most population? Indonesia, how many Muslims?
A lot.
200 million Muslims. That's the largest Muslim country in terms of population. Let me tell you something which is a surprise for you. You know that there was no war, there was not any kind of military interaction at all in Indonesia before it became Muslim? It became a Muslim country? There was absolutely no war, no nothing. You know how Islam came to Indonesia? By trading. The Muslim merchants, they went there and they started doing business. And they did business the Islamic way. So basically what happened is that they were very generous, they were very honest, very generous, and the profit margin is so small. And they allowed a lot of kindness and generosity in their business. So everybody started doing business with them. Now, what happened to the local merchants? They went out of business. Because of the Muslim merchants, the local merchants went out of business. So they went to the king. They said, those foreigners come and do business and take all the business from us. And we are going out of business. We're bankrupting. And those guys are attracting all the customers. So they wanted to talk the emperor or talk the king into kicking the Muslims merchant out of Indonesia. Out of Indonesia. They wanted to kick them out. So the king said, no, let me hear from them. So he He sent a messenger to bring the Muslim merchants to him. And then he said, what do you guys do to keep business away from those guys? They said nothing. We just do business this way. And they described the way they're doing business. So he looked at the local merchant and said, you want to survive in this market, you have to do like that. You see? And they left them. Those Muslim merchants spread Islam in Indonesia widely. No wars, no nothing, no, not even a sword was left. So, this is the first answer. The largest Muslim country in population came to Islam without war, which is Indonesia. It came to Islam because people were wowed about Islam. People were impressed about what Islam has to offer. Relative to what they had a corrupt system, they had a bad system. And Islam came to offer a whole lot better system, a much better system. So people loved Islam, people embraced Islam. And this is Indonesia, the largest Muslim country. Okay, so that's one answer. The second answer is the sword. Does it open a heart or opens an end? The sword. Does it open the heart to Islam or opens an end to Islam? Land. So to expand the Muslim empire, you needed war. So the Muslim empire to expand, it was expanded by the sword, the Muslim empire. But Islam, the faith itself, was spread by, because people were wowed about what Islam had to offer. Now, why people were wowed? Because Islam made the country it goes to better than it was before. So, based on this criteria, let's try to learn the difference between liberation and occupation. We say Islam liberated this country. We don't say Islam occupied this country, we say liberated. So what's the difference between liberation and occupation? When do I say that's an occupation? When do I say that's liberation? Think about it. What's the difference between liberation and occupation? Liberation, we look at the condition of the country before invasion and after invasion. Okay? If the condition of the country is worse, we call this occupation. If the condition of the country is better, we call this liberation. Got it? So, when Muslims went into a country, they made it better than what it was. People might ask you and say, prove it. Prove it that when Muslims went into a country, they made it better than it was. We tell them to look at Spain. Yeah. Look at Spain. What do you see in Spain? If you go visit Spain, you see a lot of Muslim history there, buildings, architecture, a lot of Muslim civilization stuff over there that you don't see in Mecca and Medina. So that tells you that when Muslims went to there, they made the land better than their own homeland. So they made it even better than Mecca and Medina. You go to Spain, you see this amazing Muslim architecture and civilization that was left behind, the libraries and all of these. You see them? Those don't exist in Mecca and Medina. So the Muslims made these places better than their own homeland. You imagine this? So you go into a country, you made it better. Now, the British people occupied Egypt for about 18 years. Did they make Cairo better than London?
No.
French people occupied Algeria for 140 years. Did they make Algeria better than Paris?
No.
Unfortunately. They were there to occupy, to suck the blood of the country, occupy, not to liberate. George Bush invaded Iraq. Did he make Iraq better than California?
No.
Or worse than Tijuana? Worse than Tijuana, right? So this is all called occupation. But when we see a country that is made better after the invasion, it's better, we call this liberation, okay? So Islam liberated, did not occupy. Why? On what basis? My basis is that Islam will always make the land it goes into better than the land Muslims made the land they go into, better than the homeland. their own homeland. Okay? Now, the Muslims and the non-Muslims were protected by the non-Muslims living in the Muslim countries are protected by laws called the Ahl al-Dhimma, laws of Ahl al-Dhimma. Ahl al-Dhimma are the people, the non-Muslim minority living in the Muslim majority countries. They are protected. They are allowed their own courts. They are allowed their own laws of divorce and marriage and things like that. And they were, their worship places are not touched. If somebody tells you, okay, prove to me that the worship places were not touched. How can you prove that? Very easy. Just go get him the pictures of churches in Egypt that has been there for 2,000 years, 1,500 years, 1,000 years. And still until today, churches that are being used by people who are worshiping, who goes to Christians who worship. Yes.
So in social studies last year, we learned that when the Christians invaded the Muslim territory, they treated like all the masjids badly and used it as war spaces. And then when Muslims got control of, I think it was Turkey, they built like they rebuilt all the churches for them, and the Christians just didn't rebuild the masjids that they built.
One guy said Islam spread by violence, and I had only 30 seconds to tell him an answer. That's my neighbor. So I told him, you know how long Inquisition lasted? He said, haha, 600 years. You know what Inquisition is?
The Spanish Inquisition was when King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain had all the Muslims and a few Jews brutally tortured and murdered as they made an attempt to rid the country of all Muslims.
They said all Muslims leave. So most of the Muslims left, but remained some Muslims. Okay, so they used to like watch them, keep spy on them to see if they are fasting during Ramadan, do they pray, do they make wudu. They look at the knee of the person. You know, if you look at my knee from here, it's the hair is gone because it's this area is always I knee on this area when I pray. So the hair completely, my leg is covered with hair, except this is bald because it's being used a lot. So they mark, sujood mark in the face, okay? They look for all these signs. And then they quiz the kids, they trick the kids. Oh, do you pray? What do you believe in? You know, they trick the kids. And if they find out that this person is not truly a Christian, he's just faking Christianity, and he's practicing any kind of Islam, that person is tortured beyond imagination. Just go read about Inquisition and read about the horrors of Inquisition and read about the torture devices and the torture machines that they have. You know, the unbelievably awful. Did you read the things about that? Did you read about the torture machines they have?
Basically, they had them seated down and they strangled their limbs, right? Basically.
They are. So, did Islam do Inquisition? I said Inquisition took 600 years. That's it. Oh, this is all what I answered. Like. Then the guy was like, yeah, he said, yeah. Yeah. Now he completely changed his attitude. We Muslims never had any Inquisition. No single historian say that Muslims never did any kind of Inquisition to any religion. And evidence is easy. You go to Egypt, 10% of the populations are Christians. Nobody touched them. Nobody did anything to them. You go to, for example, Iraq. There are Christians who are from Iraq. You go to Lebanon, there's about 50% Christians. You go to all Muslim countries, there are Christians everywhere. And Christian minorities, and nobody bothered them. Nobody bothered them at all. I was once, for some reason, turned on Fox News, and they were talking about this guy captured, American, a Christian preacher captured in Iran. And then they said there are about 25,000 Christian people in Egyptian jails because they are being prosecuted, because they are being Christians, persecuted because they are being Christians. Now, when she said that, you know, I knew that it's a lie because I'm from Egypt and I know that the Christians in Egypt, they are treated better than the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And there's no nothing. If there was one guy in Iran and they made so much fuss about it, then if there's 25,000 Christian in Egypt jails because they are Christians, I think they should have made a more fuss about it. Go ahead.
When they're put into jail, was it like maybe they counted the religion? Because like maybe they did some crime, but they still didn't. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they said they are being jailed because they are Christians.
Okay.
So they say they are being arrested and tortured and put in jail because they are Christians. Which is, I know I'm from Egypt. If I'm from a different country, I would say yes, but I'm from Egypt. And I know this is a big lie. So, okay, there is a story about how the Muslims, how the non-Muslims are being treated and held to the same standards and the Muslims given the same privilege. You know who liberated Egypt? Who knows who liberated Egypt? Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As. His son was racing with the Coptic guy. And then the Coptic guy won the race. So Amr, the son of Amr ibn al-As, he got so mad and he hit him with the, what is that?
The horse whip?
The whip. Yeah, he whipped him and he said, "How dare you? How dare you defeat the son of the honorable ones?"
How do you spell his name?
Amru. Oh.
Oh, okay.
No, no. Amru.
Oh, okay.
SS.
Sure?
Yeah, Oz. This
okay.
is the way you say Oz.
Okay.
That's the only way to spell it in English.
Okay.
So now they went into a race. The Coptic guy won the race. He got whipped by the son of Amr ibn al-As, and he said, "How dare you? How dare you defeat the son of the honorable ones?" So, the...
Yes.
Yeah, A-A-S, yeah. Yeah, it's A-A-S. So he said, "How dare you do that?" So the Coptic guy knows the Islamic law and knows the Islamic Sharia. And he knows that what this guy did is wrong. Okay. But if he complains to the government of Egypt, which is Amr ibn al-As himself, this is his son, so he might not be fair. So he traveled to Medina to meet the ruler, Khalifa, which was Umar ibn al-Khattab. We know about Umar ibn al-Khattab. He's known to be tough, very tough. So we always have a stick with him. We use the stick when he travels. And then, so he went and he said, told him the story. He said, "I was racing with the son of your governor, blah, 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 blah." And he told him the story. So he said, "That happened? Okay, wait." And he made him, sent him to guest house as a guest. And he sent a messenger to get Amr ibn al-As and his son, to get them both together. So the messenger told Amr ibn al-As and his son to travel to Medina to meet Umar ibn al-Khattab. So now Amr ibn al-As and his son arrived. So Umar ibn al-Khattab ordered the son of Amr ibn al-As to be tied down with the chains, okay? And then he gave his head, his stick to the Coptic guy, and he said, "Take revenge from him." So he kept hitting him. He said, "Okay, double the dose." So he hit him, and he said, "More, He said, no, that's enough. I've gotten him enough revenge. He said, now this is the son, now the father, Amr ibn al-As himself. Give him a dose. He said, no. I hit only the one who hit me. He said, he hit you because he was counting on his father, the governor, because of the authority, his father, the governor. That's what made him hit you. So go hit him. He said, no. I hit only the one who hit me. So, and then Umar ibn Khattab told them, when do you take people as slaves if their mothers delivered them as free? So you don't have right to take people as slaves. This is how the Islamic law dealing with the people of the non-Muslims. Coptic means Christian. Christian Coptic. There is Christian Coptic belief, sort of Roman Catholic, sort of, but it's from the Eastern Church, the Orthodox. Yeah. Now, people say, I was once interviewed after 9/11, and then she was telling me part of what she's saying, Muslims are terrorists because of Bin Laden. Bin Laden would prove that Muslims are terrorists. So I told her, no, Bin Laden proved that Muslims are peaceful. She was like, exactly, like you just said, what? It's like, I said, I can show you. How many are Bin Laden and his organization? Give me a number. 12,000? Let's make them 100,000. How about that? Of course, they are much less than. Nothing left. You know, but, you know, when they were like, the largest number they have been, like 10,000 at most. Let's say 10,000. Okay, so 10,000. How many Muslims are on earth? At that time was 1,500 million. So that's 1,500 million. So that's three zeros, and then three zeros, and then two zeros. Okay. Who can do me this division? Do this division. Your iPhone.
Cross out zeros.
So cross 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So what do we have? We have 1 over. Okay. So we have 3 zeros. Yes. 1 to 150 million. 150,000. Yes. So this is what's that ratio? It's 0.00. Huh? How many O's?
Oh, I did it right.
How many O's?
Four.
Four O's? And then?
Six.
And let's make it 7. So that means that 0.0007% of Muslims. Okay? So that proves that Muslims, some Muslims doing very well, really. It's 0.0007%. If the terrorists are 0.007% of Muslims, then the remaining 99.993%.
We got two zeros.
But you get the idea here? You get the idea? I said, let's do the math.
What about other religions? Hmm?
Yes, but they
were talking about Bin Laden in particular, because he was the guy at that time, and the Qaeda was the organization. So I said, let's do math. 99.993% of Muslims are not like that. We're doing really well. We're really doing well. If it's 99%, so she said. Then I told her, exception would prove the rule to be true, not false. Exception, see here the logic, here's the logic. Exception will prove the rule to be true. People use exception to prove the rule wrong. So they use Bin Laden to prove that the rule, which Muslims are peaceful, wrong. No, that's an exception. So Why does the exception prove the rule to be true? Because if there's no rule, there's no exception, right? If there's no rule, there's no exception. If there's an exception, then there's a rule, right? So exception, 0.99.0007% is an exception. So you just focus your zoom on this picture, and then you leave the remaining, the other 99.993% of Muslims that are totally different. Then you remove, you don't take a picture of them, you just focus on the exception. It's just like this. And if I want to show somebody, if I'm traveling to an aliens out space, and I want to show them that humans have only one hand, then I will look for a guy who has only one hand, that the other hand's cut off. Take his picture and take it with me. Say, oh, look, look, humans, they have one hand only. See, what is this called? Deception, right? And this is what's happening. Every time they show the picture of Bin Laden, Bin Laden, Bin Laden, and Al-Qaeda, 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 the same pictures, they keep repeating it. It's like, it's like showing the same images for the same people over and over again. How about the million, the remaining 1.5 billion Muslims? It's not in the picture. Now, this was interesting. I once get a journalist, she was writing for the newspaper. So she came to the masjid to ask, she said, I'm going to ask you a question about Islam. So I said, come in. She came, and then she started asking me about Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden. So I told her, Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden, both are made by the CIA. If you want to know about them, call the CIA. You come here to me if you want to know about the pillars of Islam, the pillars of faith, Ramadan, then I can answer you. But Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden, those are made by the CIA. Those are you, the CIA boys. Go ask about them in the CIA. And if you remember the history, Saddam Hussein was put in power to fight Iran by the United States. He was placed in power by the United States to fight Iran. And then he turned out to be a bad investment. Like, he flipped on them. He betrayed them. So they went to finish him. And just like Norwegian. Remember anything about Norwegian? Yes. Panama. You guys know about him? Norwegian, Panama? What he did, he was on the CIA payroll. He was actually being paid. Like, he has an actual check, paycheck coming out of the CIA to him. Okay? And he was ruling Panama. Then he rebelled, and he turned against the United States. So they went into Panama War in the 1990, and they captured Noruega. They put him in jail. And I heard that a few years back, he finished his jail sentence in the United States. So see, they sent him in France, to France, because he has jail sentences in France, to finish his jail sentence in France. Okay. But the bottom here is what I'm trying to say. He turns out to be a bad investment. Turns out to be, he flipped. Okay? So they went into war to fix that problem. Same thing what would have. Bin Laden was financed through the United States. He was financing him to fight the Russians. To fight the Russians. So there was an area of interest that made them create Bin Laden. After the Soviet, after communism fell apart, and you know, do you remember anything about Soviet Union?
Yeah.
You know about that? The Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. And it was divided into states. Like if the United States would be divided into 50 different states, sort of. So the Soviet Union collapsed. It was the biggest one was Russia and all the surrounding Chechnya and all of these surrounding countries. So the Soviet Union collapsed. And then communism became no more threat to the United States. So now, Bin Laden is not needed. And Bin Laden turned his gun to the United States afterwards. You've created the monster will come back to bite your head. So he was created by the CIA for a purpose. We have nothing to do with it. We Muslims have nothing to do with it. You know? And the Saddam Hussein, same thing. He was created by the CIA. So, you know, you want to learn about them? Go ask the CIA. Here, I can tell you about the pillars of Islam, the pillars of worship, Ramadan, iftar, anything you want to know about Islam, fine. But these guys, you're in the wrong place. Now, how, when they say Islam is a religion of terror, and Muslims are terrorists. And Muslims are terrorists. How would you address that?
Someone would quote to me and ask me.
Yeah, you guys are terrorists. I mean, politely, it's not good to say that, but say, oh, I.
You say that politely, though.
You say, I heard that Islam is a terrorist religion, and you guys are people like you might be terrorists.
I said that there's probably more terrorists that aren't Muslims out there. The terrorists aren't actually Muslim. They're just saying that just so that, because Muslims have been like idealized, or the stereotype is that they're terrorists. So they just take that name and kind of carry on with the stereotype.
It's like, in Islam, you're not supposed to resort to violence. And people who say that they're Muslim and like to do terrorist attacks aren't really Muslim if they do that.
They are Muslims, but sinful, or like bad Muslims, sort of.
In the Quran, it directly states that if you take the life of one human being, it's as if you're taking the lives of all of humanity.
Because humanity started from one family. So you can think of it that this person is the start of humanity that you have killed. There's, this person should have children and grandchildren and grandchildren. There's a sub-tree under this person that you killed. Okay. So, anybody else want to say something about that?
Has anyone actually been asked that here?
In my high school, a lot of people at a rally or protest, they had a walkout, right? Where the students left the campus during lunch to protest Actually, a lot of students at my school in Ruby Valley High in San Jose said that they supported Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was kind of
sad.
In
my classroom, for English, actually, it was after the election, I didn't stop crying till after my fifth period class, because I was just so sad about everything that happened. Because Donald Trump's election proves that there is so much racial animosity in the U.S. And while it's not that bad in California, it's still there, and it's still an overwhelming...
bad outside of California. It's really bad. And sometimes it's even bad in California and like Fresno,
in the southern parts. Or it's mostly the coastal regions of California that's okay, but everywhere else it's still.
Yeah. So, now, how about forcing people to be Muslims? Forcing people to be Muslims. Why? What? How would you answer somebody says that you guys forced people to be Muslims?
Well, so even if there are some wrong-minded people doing that, it's not like back in the day there were about in the 1800s Christians forced natives to become Christians, and they would persecute them and stuff. And same with the Spanish story, like how. Anyone who is Muslim was killed. At least that's not happening. Even if they are forced to become Muslim for money, it's still their choice.
There's one thing you want to say something?
No. There was just like there was this treaty that we studied in social studies, and it was written that they would, as long as the people didn't hurt Muslims or persecute them, they could be allowed to do their own religions, and Muslims wouldn't hurt them either because,
Islam, there's a law in Islam that says anything by force is nullified, is invalid. Marriage by force is invalid. Contract signed under force is invalid. Anything under force is invalid. So it invalidates the contract. So what do you think about religion? And now how are you going to really force somebody to be a Muslim? You can't.
Some people speak out of just like what they hear from other people. They don't really know like that Islam, like what you said, if something's forced on you, it's not really official. So people just, they speak out of like...
ignorance, yeah. Well, as I said before, when my neighbor said that, I just answered, briefly, Inquisition took 600 years. Inquisition lasted for 600 years. And that was enough. Okay. Now, in Islam, if you're forced to say that you're not a Muslim, and you say that I'm not a Muslim, or like, let's say, if you're forced to curse Prophet Muhammad and curse Allah, and you're tortured to do so, can you?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you remember a story like that?
Yeah.
Huh?
What is his name?
Ammar ibn Yasir?
Oh, yeah,
Ammar. Yasir family. Yasir family.
Yeah, like his mom was the first murder, Sumayya.
Exactly, Sumayya.
So, like, he was being tortured to, like, curse Prophet.
Yeah. They first tortured his father, his mother to death. She was killed, stabbed. And then his father was tortured to death. And then he was being tortured also, but his father and mother already died in front of him. And then he broke down. So he said, curse Muhammad, he cursed Prophet Muhammad. Curse is Allah, he cursed, astaghfirullah al-azim. So he did, curse Islam, so he cursed it. Then after they let him go, they went to Prophet Muhammad and he was crying, he was like tormented. And he said, he was crying and say, I did this and that. He said, how's your heart? Prophet Muhammad asked him one question, how's your heart? He said, no, my heart, I love Allah, I love Muhammad, Islam, and I love Prophet Muhammad. I love this Prophet. He said, then, if they force you again, do it again. Curse again. As long as your heart is okay. Okay. So that gives in me, and this is a simple concept, but it's important to know that you cannot force somebody to embrace a religion. How can you force somebody to love Islam and to pray?
Show them how good it is.
Yeah, the one who's going to practice Islam and teach his children to practice Islam is a person who's really a believer, who really loved Islam, who really was wowed, impressed by what Islam has to offer. You know, Islam came to people like, for example, in Bergia. You know that people were ranked in Bergia, like four layers? Bergia, the old Bergia, before Islam. People were created from the head of gods. Those are the Brahmas. People who are created from the shoulders of God. People who are created from the hands of God. And no, legs of God. And people are created from the foot of God. From the feet of God. Okay? So the ones created from the Brahmas, created from the head, those are like the elites and the emperor. Yeah. The hands are the soldiers. The thighs are the workers. Shoulders, yeah. The thighs one are the professionals, like carpenters, smith people, smithmen, all these like professions. Builders and all of these, those are created from the thighs of God. And then the ones who are created from the foot of God, they are slaves and servants. And they have almost no value to the society. Almost no value. They can be abused by the layers above them, and they don't have the right. And you can't, if you're born into a caste, you can't get out of it. Do we have this system nowadays?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, can you see? Anything sound familiar, or it's a level of social order that they're forced to do the rest of their lives?
Like the Hindu.
Yeah, exactly, of India.
Yeah. Until you get died.
But now, no worse than that. There is a first world, and there's a third world. There are people who divide. This is the first world, this is the second world, and this is the third world. You guys born here, right? I was born in the third world. To get out of my caste, I got an immigration visa. That was my only way out from the third world caste into the first world caste.
Are you allowed to marry, this wasn't like common, but if you marry someone from a higher...
Yes, to pull you off. to give you the citizenship. Yeah. What I'm trying to tell you is that it is a caste system. Yes, it is a caste. Here we're in the United States, we're 2.5% of humans on Earth. We use 60% of the world's resources. Here in the United States, we're 2.5% and using 60% of the world's resources. 60% of the energy, 60% of the oil, 60% of everything you can think of. 60%. And maybe 60% of the oxygen. I don't know about that. I'm kidding. But this is the first world that we live in. We have totally different situation than the second world or the third world. Oh, do you know what's the second world? I always thought about that. Yeah. China is considered what? First or second?
No, I think places like maybe like Australia might be second world, and then like places like Africa are third world.
Yeah, but what's the second?
Second, I think, might be places like Australia.
Australia?
No, because I want to say China because of its terrible, like, not just the economy, but the way they treat the people, the environment itself, but it's still regarded as a global superpower, so I'm not sure if that's still considered second world.
That's the third world.
That's the third world because they don't have shoes. They have to eat like food that they find. And maybe second world is like you have a house, you have a family, you have stuff, but like you're not really like.
Well, Egypt, you have a house, you have a family, you have stuff, but you're in the third world.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, maybe China. I would Google it and find out what do they call second world. But what I'm saying is that there are caste systems.
Yeah.
But you can get out of your caste. How? If you're lucky enough to get an immigration visa.
Not in other? India, though. I remembered reading the story in my English class as a freshman where recently a girl and a boy, one, the girl was from a lower caste and the boy from a higher caste, fell in love and they wanted to get married, right? But then their parents forbade it, even though, like you said, if you're from a higher caste and, married, and someone wants to marry you from a lower caste, you can move to from a higher caste. They forbade it, and they had the two children murdered. I think it was by fire. Like, they tied them up to a pyre, and then they killed them by lighting them on fire.
See, there is a caste system in today's world, too. Okay? It's not that brutal like what it was in Bergia, like head of God and arms of God and feet of God and all of these things. It's not that brutal. And it's not brutal that you can't get out of your caste that you're born into. But it is, yeah. There is a caste system. First world, second world, third world. There is a caste system. There is. Okay? So, when you go to the website, you will see pictures that I'm taking to Muslim architecture, Muslim buildings in Spain, to show that Muslims have made the countries they went into better than it was before. And that's the evidence, the living evidence, that people can, like, you can actually tell people, go to Spain and look to see how Muslims made the country they go into better than their own homeland. Okay? And I put pictures also about the very, very old churches and in Egypt and other places that still are surviving until today. Next.
Like in Spain, like in Cordoba.
Cordoba, yeah.
Yeah, it's like everything is like really amazing. Like the mosques are amazing.
Yeah.
Another argument you could say that Muslims are not terrorists is that I was thinking about it, and now that I think about it, the terrorists have killed more Muslims than non-Muslims in a way.
Yeah.
They're always attacking places like Syria, so I don't really get how non-Muslims are affected by that. Of all things, they shouldn't be criticizing the Muslims who are being tortured.
And I wouldn't say that because then they're going to bring up Paris, they're going to bring up New York, they're going to bring...
But right now they've conquered Muslim countries.
So far, but they're going to bring that up, so you can't necessarily use that as an argument.
And, so I mean, like, they're also killing Muslims, if not more, but they are about equal. And things like when a Muslim
suffers a lot because of them. I'm suffering because of what they did, because of 9/11. You are suffering because of 9/11. So you're being hurt. I'm being hurt. We're hurt twice. I'm hurt first because I'm American and this is an attack against my country. And then second, I'm hurt as a Muslim. So because that guy shares the same religion with me. You know, when they, one time, I remember, one guy was saying, was telling Muhammad Ali, was telling him, how do you feel about Bin Laden sharing the same religion of yours? He said, same way you feel about Hitler sharing the religion of yours. He was like, Muhammad Ali was good. And they said, he is an Alabama sheriff or... Okay. All right. Any more thoughts? Somebody wanted to add something about the subject? All right. Okay. No questions?
I think I had a question.